Hey, we're taking a break from our Revelation study today. I know we do that from time to time. I know, I'm sorry. But Revelation 13 is not really appropriate for Family Sunday. And so we'll be in, by God's grace, in Revelation 13 next week. But this week, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. What happens in 1 Samuel chapter 17? We just read about it in our Bible reading plan. 1 Samuel 17 is the story of David and Goliath. You're thinking, man, what can I learn from David and Goliath? A bunch. All right, so don't fall into the trap and think, oh, that's an old Sunday school story. What can I learn? God just might wreck you today. Hey, so Rachel made, every week Rachel draws, where's Rachel? There she is. Raise your hand, Rachel. Oh, you don't have to, but she's in the red hair right there, right next to her dad, Todd. So she doesn't have to raise her hand, but she's right there behind Christian and John. Anyway, so she wrote, she drew David and Goliath. And what I love about Goliath is he's got a belly on him. Look at that. Those with bellies, well, we identify with Goliath, right? And David's all mean, lean, mean, and of course he's young. Of course he's young and mean. And anyway, so thank you, Rachel. So we're going to be reading about David and Goliath. Title of the message today, Ready for the Battle. This is actually a message that I preached in the Dominican Republic. This is a slight change because I'm not speaking through a translator and all that kind of stuff, but we'll be looking at this passage today. Ready for the battle. We'll be talking about a boy and a battle today. We'll read from 1 Samuel 17. So let's go ahead and stand up, read about David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 16. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Ron D and I have been there. We gathered stones while we were there. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. So, Lord, as we've read the word, we pray that you would speak to us now by your Spirit. Through me, your vessel, Lord, I pray that your Spirit and your word would penetrate our hearts and minds, would change our minds about things, would convince us of other things, would convict us, Lord, of things that we need to be convicted of. So for your glory, it's in your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The people of God were fearful. Been there? The people of God had no plan. Been there? The people of God were about to see God do what he usually does? What does God normally do in overwhelming situations like these? He shows up in unexpected ways. That's just what God does. When we're overwhelmed and fearful and without a plan, God shows up in unexpected ways. We will see that God used an unexpected person to win the battle and restore hope and peace. Number one, David was young, but David had bold faith. Listen, God can do a lot with someone with bold faith. In fact, great things happen when we exercise bold faith because we believe God. Bold faith alone won't get the job done, but from that place of bold faith, we must do the difficult work necessary to accomplish what we know God has put within us to achieve. Have you ever felt like God has called you to do something, but you just lack the faith or the boldness to do what God has called you to do? Maybe, just maybe, today God is calling you back to that assignment. David was in a battle, but in the face of the battle, David exercised bold faith. Faith in God in the midst of a battle or difficult situation is exactly what is needed to win the battle. Hear me again. Faith in God in the midst of a battle or difficult situation is exactly what is needed to win the battle. Our tendency, though, is not to look at God and to have our faith in God. Our tendency is to look at the giant, the Goliath that we're facing, and we see the bigness of the giant, and we compare the bigness of the giant with the smallness of us, and we are overwhelmed, and all faith, all hope is lost. So our tendency is to look at the problem and be overwhelmed. Whatever the problem may be, whether financial or relational or physical, we tend to look at the problem instead of the solution to the problem. We look at the problem and we're overwhelmed. If we will move our attention off of the battle and get our eyes on Jesus, who is able to give us the victory, we will do as David did and defeat the giants. How many are ready to finally defeat some giants in our lives? When David wanted to fight the giant, this is what they told him. And this is what well-meaning people will always tell us when we're ready to finally tackle the giant. 1 Samuel 17:33, and Saul said to David, "You're not able." Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever told yourself that before? You're not able. Saul told David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." David explained that while watching his sheep, because David was just a shepherd boy and watching his father's sheep on the backside of the desert, he had a responsibility to look after these sheep. He often had to protect the sheep from lions and bears. And so David told this to Saul, "Hey, when I'm watching my father's sheep, I often protect them from lions and bears." And even as God, listen to his boldness and listen to the focus of his boldness, "even as God has given me the victory with lions and bears, God will give me the victory here." God would give him victory over the Philistine giant. And God is the only one who will ever give us victory over the giants that we face in our life. God will give us the victory over the giants in our lives. And so Saul agrees to let David fight. What's the real reason that Saul agreed to let David fight? He had nobody else. Nobody else raised their hand. Nobody else stood up and said, "I will fight the giant." The people were afraid every time Goliath would stand up and taunt the Israelites and the God of the Israelites. And so the people were afraid. So the shepherd boy David was the only one who said, like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me. I'm willing. I'm going to go fight." Saul agrees to let David fight, but Saul wanted David to use his armor. But David wasn't used to battling with Saul's armor, so he went forward with the weapons he was used to using. often in battles, we think, well, what would so-and-so do? Or how can I do what so-and-so would do? And you need to know that if you're in a battle, that God has prepared you for that battle. And he often uses the past experiences that we've had to win the battle. We learn and glean from past experiences to win the future battles. 1 Samuel 17:40, this is what David did. Then he took his staff in his hand. Was the staff familiar to him? Absolutely, the staff. He was a shepherd, right? So it was a shepherd's staff. Took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook. When Pastor Ron D and I stood in that same brook, we also gathered five smooth stones and brought them back to the country, this country, with us. We wanted to be reminded that this historical place is where God did some powerful and wonderful things. He chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Listen, don't try to be someone else in your life and battle. Be the person God has made you to be. God has equipped you for specific tasks in your life, and just know that God has equipped you, and he will use you to do what he has called you to do. David knew what weapons to use, and he knew who was battling with him. So he not only knew what weapons to use, but he also knew that God was going to be battling with him. Sometimes we're up against enemies, we're up against obstacles, we're up against giants in our own lives, and we forget. We feel like we're all alone. And we look at our arsenal and we're like, this is nowhere close to what I need to do the battle. We look internally instead of looking to the God of our salvation who is with us, strengthening us so that we might win the battle. David knew who was battling with him. Then David, 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David was ready for the battle. Are you ready for the battle in your own life? David was young, but David had bold faith, number one. Number two, David didn't look like a warrior, but David had been tested and he had prevailed. Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, "There's a warrior"? Me either. It just doesn't happen very often. I look in the mirror and say, "Who's that old guy staring back at me?" You know, we're kind of like, how is God going to use me in this battle? But be sure of this, God will use you in the battle. David didn't look like a warrior, but David had been tested and had prevailed. David had been tested as a shepherd. He was able to protect his sheep from both lions and bears. You and I have been tested. We may not look like warriors, but God has been preparing us. And it's those preparations along the way that will be used to prepare us for the things that God has called us to. You and I may not look like warriors, but with God in our corner, he will make us ready. Do you believe that? We absolutely must believe that if we're going to move forward conquering the enemies in our lives. We absolutely have to believe that the God, the all-powerful creator of the universe, is actually in our corner. He is fighting with us and on our behalf. And that God who is with us and fighting on our behalf will make us ready. And again, God will use the smaller battles in our lives to prepare us for more significant battles. So maybe you're here like, "Man, why, Lord?" Maybe you're asking the question, "Why do I keep going around the same bend over and over again? Lord, what are you doing in my life? Why do I have to have the same experience over and over again?" God is preparing you. He wants to give you the victory now, but he also wants to give you the victory when you're up against your Goliath, this 9-foot giant that you will face in your life. The Lord tells us, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much." So the little things matter. God is in the little things. God is using the little things in our lives to prepare us for victory in the battle presently and victory in the battle that is coming. The little things matter. The little responsibilities matter. The seeming unimportant things in life are the proving ground. Will we be faithful in small responsibilities? If we will be faithful in small responsibilities, God will entrust more to us. I love this story about Fred Craddock and an address to ministers caught the practical implications of consecration. To give my life for Christ appears glorious, he said. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom. I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory. We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. That's our perspective sometimes. But the reality for most of us is that he sends us to the bank and has us cash in that $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Listen to the neighbor's kids' troubles instead of saying, get lost. Go to a committee meeting, give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go in a flash of glory. It's harder. Much harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. It's really the life of most Christians. We go through the course of our life, spending our life a quarter at a time, 50 cents at a time, a dollar at a time, making sure that we're living our life for the glorious purposes that God has called us to in the small things and in the large things. We're faithful. God is calling us to be faithful in those small things, promising to graduate us from there that we might do more exciting things for the kingdom. David didn't look like a warrior, and on the backside of the desert when he was killing the lions and the sheep, he was essentially spending his life one quarter or $1 at a time. He didn't look like a warrior, but David had been tested and had prevailed. Number three, David wasn't the obvious leader, but God chose him. David wasn't the obvious leader, but God chose him. Let's read the rest of the story. In 1 Samuel 17, 41 through 50, it says, and the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. He did not look like a warrior. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. But David knew something about his God. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. He's like, hey, don't you know who you're messing with? I am representing the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, who is out here with me in the battle, and you will pay in this battle with your life. We need to have boldness, that type of boldness, as we face our giants in our lives because we know that the Lord is fighting for us. This day, David continues, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Why was David so confident? Because God was with him. And God had tried him already and proven, and David proved that he was going to trust the Lord no matter what. This day, David said, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And so little David, speaking to 9-foot Goliath, I'm going to strike you down and cut off your head. That's God-sized boldness. That's God-sized boldness. We need to be able to have that kind of boldness. We're not arrogant about our own strength. We're arrogant about God's strength. We know what God can do. This day, verse 46 again, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, what did David do? David ran right at him. David ran quickly right at this giant. Why? Because he knew that God was going to give him the victory. So David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. And so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. It's a great story. It's a true story. It can be your story. It must be our story. It must be the story that we're able to communicate to the people in our lives and give God praise for. When we talk with others about the struggles that we face and the difficulties that we go up against, we must be able to tell them a David and Goliath story, a real life story that we've experienced. Not that David and Goliath isn't real, but it's from 1 Samuel 17. We need a story then and now about how God has given us the victory so that we can tell others about God's victory and how he gave us the victory by his strength so that others might be built up in their most holy faith so that they can do the same thing and have the same victory. David's story should be our story. David's story can be our story if we'll just keep our eyes on the Lord and get our eyes off the challenges in front of us. Listen, no matter your age or stature or status, decide by God's grace to have bold faith. Decide by God's grace to have bold faith. Allow the battles in your life currently to prepare you for all that God has for you later today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Remember that God has chosen you for such a time as this. Keep your eyes on God and he will give you the victory. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, go back and reread the story and say, Lord, as I reread 1 Samuel 17, convince me that this is real. Convince me that this is possible. Convince me to live this way. With that, let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to pray. I'm going to invite the worship team and the prayer team. There's going to be a prayer team up here in front as we sing our final song this morning. So come get prayer. There's going to be a prayer team after the service as well, and so come and get prayer. And so, Lord, as we pray, we thank you, Lord, that we can pray directly to you and that the God of David is also our God. And God, you will give us victory over our Goliaths, over the difficulties in our lives, whether they be relational or financial or physical, whatever the giants may be. Lord, we know that you can give us victory and give us grace to endure and be victorious. So Lord, we need your help. We ask for your help. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.